Good morning. It is 9:04, and you're listening to the Sands Per Hour. I'm WPRK, Winter Park, Florida. I am Greg Golden.
And I'm Amir Sade, and I would love to introduce our guest. She's a friend of mine. She's a friend of Greg's, the lovely Olivia Matthews. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I think really quick we should introduce our friend Olivia Matthews. She is a sophomore at Rollins College. She is a theater major. She is involved on many aspects of the school, such as the Sandspur, but also Rollins Improv Players, which we will dive into a little bit later on. But again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Greg?
And we're about to start off with a little bit of music before we get into our first conversation.
Yes. Before we talk about Dr. Azar Nafisi, who just came to Rollins last week to not only discuss her book, but also to discuss about Iran and a lot of other topics relating to women's issues and whatnot. And one of the songs I think we're going to start playing is a song called Patty by the band called Sandy. They're an Iranian band. And the song has a lot to do with the premise of it. It's about a woman who who's a prostitute, and it talks about her trials and tribulations. And obviously, for me, I chose this song for two reasons. One of them, obviously, the subject matter, which is a very big issue in Iran, is still that and women's rights. But also, it exhibits music in Iran, and it's not the not-so-typical way you would think Iranian music is, kind of Persian pop and Persian music as a whole. So here we go.
Remind our listeners who that was.
That was Sandy, Persian band Sandy, playing the song Patty.
I like that.
Yeah, it was, music like that was the stuff I was raised on, you know, and it was great to kind of listen to stuff that, you know, wasn't your, like, your stereotypical type of music where they would play the sitar, and you know it showed that Persian music, as all music, as you'll see, is modernized, and it has a lot of different talks about a lot of different topics and a lot of different styles. So yeah,
it's got a beat.
It's got a
rhythm to it.
Got a little bit of rhythm. You know, depressing topic, but it's still got some rhythm to it. You know, it still knows. You know, knows its audience. So, but yes, as we talked about before, we are Dr. Azar Nafisi, writer of Reading Lolita in Tehran, came to Rollins not only for the Winter Park Institute, but also Winter with the Writers. So we'll be talking about both at the moment and kind of her thoughts on her coming. And I guess we'll start off chronologically.
Right, with the Winter Park Institute event that was on Wednesday evening.
Yes, Wednesday evening, 7:30, it was in Tiki. I went. I loved it. Dr. Azar Nafisi kind of gave a hour and a half long talk and quick Q&A. Not just talking about the book, really making this talk about just how we view politics and kind of how we view life. She hit on many issues, kind of looking at perspective and kind of talking about the importance of not being too PC. And realizing, you know, one of the things she talked about was, you know, you have a culture where if you say something, so if you apologize within 24 hours, you're okay. And hers, like, that doesn't even have, like, enough time to ruminate. Like, if you're going to say something, at least, like, stick with it for a week, you know, like, and she's joking around and stuff. But to her, it's like, you know, it's our being too politically correct allows us to have a lot of phony sympathy and a lot of it doesn't help anybody. It doesn't do anything for them. So I think that it was really wonderful for her to talk. And one of my biggest quotes when obviously her talking about her life in Iran, saying that religion should not be involved in politics, or when religion is used as an institute or instrument in politics, it destroys the both of them. Mm-hmm. I think that quote really ruminated with me, really stuck with me, because it really just gets to the heart of a lot of issues that we have you don't have to look at a theocracy like Iran or a totalitarian regime to see the difficulties of when you try and mix the two. You just see in our own country, you know, when we try and emphasize so much on faith and make that as the moral barometer, it really kind of leaves other people out of the discussion, and it can do more harm than good. So her talk definitely was just a lot of these things, and obviously tying it into the big thing, which is literature, and how literature to her, how she used it, but as a whole can really bring people together and bridge those gaps and the importance of literature.
Right, and part of that comes from her reading Lolita, as the title of her book states, and teaching it to an all-female group in Tehran. And part of that experience was bridging the culture of Nabokov's Russia with what was the current day in Iran at the time. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Nabokov and, oh yeah, it, just talking about, like, the book said, it was, you know, these themes were ever present, and obviously during her time when she was teaching books like these, the whole action in and of itself is so revolutionary. But what she kind of relates Nabokov's book Lolita to the situation in Iran, in that it's this fight of loss of innocence. Like, what Lolita, the main character in Lolita, have is obviously like this weird thing, but the whole thing is innocence. Is that being so taboo and being taken away, and very much like the innocence of the people in Iran having this revolution and thinking it's going to be wonderful and having these idealistic views, and then it being taken away from them, and you have a generation of teens and young adults who grow up and have lost everything, who their friends are, you know, who have been thrown in jail or who have been killed, and it is this growing up now, her and a lot of other people who are grown up that time, who are teenagers at the time, who were part of the revolution at that time, feel as if like they grew up so quickly and so unfairly. But it was something that they had to do, and it was just the reality of the situation. So I think, so that's how she looks at Lolita, and that's why she teaches that, is because like that theme of innocence being lost and that kind of that taboo, it was for them, it was a reality. It was their own reality.
Mm-hmm. And then the following morning, you were able to have lunch with her. What was that experience?
It was great. It was me and a few other students were able to kind of come in and have a nice lunch with her. And it was just an honor to really sit and talk with her about, to have kind of get more in depth with these things and get to ask her questions about just a whole plethora of issues. I personally had asked her, being an Iranian American, for instance, the importance of culture and how do you continue it going onwards. I'm an Iranian American. I'm first generation American. My parents came from Iran to here and became citizens, and it's always difficult for that first generation born in the United States, like they're the children, because you are so close to your culture. You're still very close. You literally can hear and be told the stories of your family, but then you know your kids are the first that are completely removed. So you're the ones who have to bear the stories and bear the culture, and you set the precedent for the rest of the lineage. So I kind of wanted to talk to her about, you know, how do you do that? Can you kind of hold that light? And one of the things she kind of said, which I loved was, you know, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you do as much as you can and it's within you, but, you know, it's not too horrible to lose some things, because it makes you closer to your new home, and you can't really idealize about a home that isn't there. You know, Iran, all the stories I heard, you know, I love and they mean so much to me, but a lot of that Iran isn't around any longer. And what you have to do is kind of live in the moment. And obviously culture is important, but you should also focus on being able to merge it with your new home. And that's what really brings people together, is knowing that we have differences, but still being able to live homogeneously.
And so jumping ahead a little bit to later that day, she did have a master class with Winner with the Writer's interns who submit writing to her. What was this genre of writing, Olivia, that...
It was memoir.
Oh, okay.
So it was very personal to everyone who wrote. But what was interesting about this, to compared to other master classes that I've attended, she didn't go over anything, like a particular piece of work by anybody in the class out loud in the public. She she made it more, it was more of an open atmosphere, and she discussed writing and the process in general with everyone. And specifically, she asked, why are you a writer? And a lot of people in the class answered it was their way to escape, or like because they read a lot, it was their way to still be attached to something. It was interesting because a lot of people in the class were actually they were like the only child in their family, so writing was a way to like make siblings and friends. But she was just so open and loving and willing to have a discussion and have a conversation and a dialogue with people versus telling them, okay, you need to change this and this needs to be moved here and you should take this out. She let them know they had plenty of notes on their pieces, but it was just an open dialogue. And she's a very sweet lady, and you could tell she knew what she was talking about.
Great. And following that was her reading and Q&A with Carol Frost and the Winter with the Writers patrons. That was also in the, in the Tiedke Hall. And that was also open to the public. And that was an opportunity for her to read some of her book, Reading Lolita in Tehran. She is an author of other books, published and upcoming, but she chose to read from that one as her most prominent work to date. And following that, there was a great question and answer session. She had answered questions about how do we experience Iran as Americans, and her response was the same way that Iran experiences us, how her students did, which was through art, through film, through music. And part of our inspiration for choosing some Iranian songs to play today is from that directive to experience Iran through the art that they create.
Exactly.
And she really emphasized that Iran is a nation of poetry, really a lot of traditional works throughout the ages being a real legacy there. And she even shared some poems in Farsi from memory. And she even wrote something in Farsi. Farsi is also, would you consider that the written language as well?
Farsi is the written, yeah. You'd write it down, yeah. It's yeah. You could.
Is that
say
also
either.
The word for the spoken?
Yeah, you can also, yeah.
Okay.
Like English and English. It's yeah. It's
hooray!
Surprise!
So good.
No, it's
not
fine.
Always the case.
No, I understand.
Just trying to be culturally sensitive.
Politically correct.
Yo, whoa, don't want to. But yeah, no. Go on.
Yeah, and so she wrote something in Farsi in the book that she signed for my mother when she went up to get her copy signed. And so I'll need to track down someone to translate that.
For sure. If you yes. need somebody, let me know. I can hook you up.
Sweet.
But yeah, I agree. I think when you look at somebody's culture and you look at somebody's art, that's what connects you. So when you have a culture who prohibits that, or especially supposedly Western expressions of that art, you know, then you get cut off from such an important valve,
right.
valve from that. So you only see what the stereotype, really. So I agree with her. I think that's so important. And it ever speaks to the need for true cultural expression, art, and music from the Iranian community to kind of be put on the forefront And obviously it's difficult when you have your whole home country censoring you. So,
right. And just in terms of the ways in which you can study or try to relate to another nation, whether it's politically studying that or a country's economics, really the art is going to stand out as something that you can really connect with and have a really intimate experience with.
I think the best way to typify it is you may not know who the president was during Mark Twain's time, but you know who Mark Twain is.
Sure. Yeah, that's...
And I think that really spoke volumes.
Yeah, and... let's see, there was another train of what she had talked about.
Uh-oh, trains off trains. The hinges.
Yeah, it's going off the rails right now.
No.
But...
All the children. You got it, Craig.
Again, just emphasizing just her real passion for celebrating literature and art and the way in which she's able to not only be such a strong individual in teaching it in the face of...
Just certain punishment,
in her home country.
Yeah.
But being able to share that love and also her work, which is a best-selling book, is phenomenal. Was a great experience.
Very cool.
And to bookend that discussion, I have a song from another Iranian group of expats. Their music was actually not legal in Iran, but they are now Brooklyn-based. They are called the Yellow Dogs, and this is Molly. So that was the Yellow Dogs with Molly. What did you think of that song?
I liked it.
I liked it.
It was fun. It was, you know,
How old is that song?
That might have come out last year.
Okay.
Cool. Very cool.
May of 2012. Yes. Cool. I forgot what year it was for a second, so I thought it just came out, but no, it's not even May 13 yet. So that wouldn't have made sense.
Right.
But yeah, good stuff.
So, have you crazy kids heard of a little known TV show back in the day called Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Maybe. It sounds a little familiar.
It sounds a little familiar.
I'm gonna go yes.
Well, Colin Moshree, one of the characters from that show,
he's a real person.
real person. Well, I call character because he's quite hilarious.
He's
improviser.
A card.
He really blew up the Twitterverse when he put his tweet out. Tweeted on March 1st. Oh, by the way, Whose Line Is Coming Back? More details later. And the most nonchalant manner, just boom. If you haven't heard, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Is coming back for a summer run. While Drew Carey will not be emceeing, Aisha Tyler will, and it actually will be bringing back Ryan Stiles, Wayne Brady, and Colin Moshree to give us just some improvisational fun.
Good stuff.
And I think it's really cool because for most people, Whose Line was their only really knowledge and kind of taste of improv. Improv, as you don't know, is a type of theater where things are not scripted ahead of time. So there is no scripts or words prepared. But really, it's based on games, which have rules to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where the structure in improv is. But for the most part, it is all based on suggestions from the audience and from the crowd. And really, it takes some quite talented individuals to really know these games thorough enough to where they can kind of get the suggestions from the audience and be able to work in and create a, you know, hour-long show. And luckily enough, our own Olivia Matthews is in Rollins Improv Players, which is the premier and only... I always like to say premier. It's like, oh, it's the best, but it's like, it's also the only
one.
Rollins, it's an improv troupe at Rollins. So Liv, you know, tell us a little bit about Rollins Improv Players. Well, what do you guys do?
We're a campus organization. We improvise, but I think we also take issues and ideas that are found on campus and express them through our improvisation and try to make the campus better from it in any way we can. You know, maybe if it's a story that somebody can relate to, or, you know, maybe if it's one line that might resonate with someone, if we can, you know, help and change someone from that.
And I hear good for go on.
Good for all of us, I think.
No, I agree. I agree. I think the beauty of improv, and some people don't may not know, improv comes in all shapes and forms. While it can be comedic and it can be funny, improv also, especially when we look at some long form shows, just to kind of jump into the difference really quick.
Mm-hmm.
Short form shows are based on mini games, really from about 3 to 5 minutes. 5 minutes being the longest, really, where it's just small games and stuff that usually can be somewhat comedic in effect, but
yeah.
also serious, whereas long-form shows are the 40 to 50-minute one-long theme, one-long show that kind of combines things together. And a lot of times what you'll see in long-form shows, a lot of the time, is the themes tend to get serious, and
yeah.
there's drama, and you really get invested in characters, and it's doesn't necessarily have to be comedic. And I feel like that's obviously the, when you see Whose Line and stuff, you think, oh, comedic, it's improv, it's that, da da da. But, really, like you were mentioning, it can have a very, impactful role. It has a lot that it can do with social change and has a lot of really interesting themes and facets where it can go into.
Right.
Can you give any examples of the types of issues that have come up in shows in the past year?
Relationships. We had a show that was very interesting. It wasn't completely comedic throughout, and I think Amir attended this performance where there was a grandfather who had dementia, and how it affected his relationship with his granddaughter, and then the people around her. And we it was very dark for us. And we kind of were like, after this. But I heard good things about it, that people. People appreciate it. It was very much like, yeah, you guys went there and it was dark, but that doesn't mean it was a bad show. Like, not clearly, improv does not always have to be, you know, funny, hilarious stuff.
No.
And I think it still resonated with people.
Sure. I think that's improv at its most daring.
Yes.
It's easier to be funny. In a way, as difficult and as skilled you have to be to be able to create that. But I wish I were at that show.
I actually played in it because we rotate around, and I played in that show. And I thought it was difficult to play in because there was this energy of, oh, God, I don't know if the audience is really feeling this right now. But I felt much better when I had people tell me, no, actually, it was very different from what you guys usually do, but it was still a good show. And a lot of people got something from it.
Yeah, I think that's I obviously was there. If many of you don't know, I'm an avid.
He's the Rip mascot.
Yes,
I am here today. I really love Rollins Improv Players. I love all types of improv, but I am very much the fanboy number one mascot of Rip, and I feel like it can do no wrong in anyone who doesn't need. You know, if I could give one organization extra funding.
Hey,
no. But
outside of the Sandsburg.
No, outside of the Sandsburg. But no, I do agree. In my 3 years being at this school, being introduced to obviously improv more frequently, I've learned so much, not only about myself, but really what is theater, what is acting, what does that mean, and the themes that you can gain from it. And at the helm, I guess, as the fearless leader, is Dr. David Charles, who, if you've ever met the man, just brilliant, brilliant person to just speak with, very caring. I've had an amazing relationship with him, just somebody who has always been there to talk to, and yet also somebody you can learn a ton from, even if you aren't a theater major.
Right.
How has your experiences been like? With Dr. D, and how, and not only that, but as being a part of this troupe as a whole, how has it been for you over the last semester?
It's been great. I've learned so much from not only him but from everybody. It's a very diverse troupe, and I've learned so much about, you know, different lifestyles and just opinions and ideas, and, you know, everybody has different politics, and just everybody's from, you know, not everybody's American, and I think everybody takes those, we take those life experiences and we put them into our show. So you might, somebody might say something, it's like, in a show, and like you might know that about them, but it's very interesting to see how that plays out in performance. And it's just I learned so much, or different parts from people, just from improvising.
Very cool, very cool. I mean, I really do enjoy what you guys do. I know a lot of people do. I think it's one of those really cool institutes at this school. You know, you have Fox Day and mm-hmm. you have, you know, Lake Virginia, and there's just things that really define this campus that you, when you tell somebody on a tour, or when you tell somebody, like when you're passing the Fred Stone Theater, you can't not mention it.
Right.
Because so many people have been affected by it, and just even if it's just the cursory, hey, I was feeling kind of down one day. I decided to go to the show, and it really just really made me smile at a time where I needed it. I think that's the beauty of improv, and that's
so
the beauty of what you guys do.
That was last year. As a freshman, I would, you know, do my best to make sure I got to every RIP show. I think first semester freshman year, I only missed two. And one of the ones I missed, everybody was like, that was the best cut, too. Ever. And it was around the one before winter break, and everybody was bragging about it. I was so hurt. I had to write a paper. But no, it just has this effect on people, and it is, I would say, very much an institution on campus.
And do you have any experience with scripted theater?
Yes. Actually, I would like to be a playwright. But yeah, I actually took, I haven't been in a show in a while, but I took acting one with, Dr. David Charles, and I learned a lot from him. And he also, in his class, he, incorporates improvisation and just thinking on the spot in order to, evoke a feeling from something that is scripted.
And I'm going to incorporate something that Ricardo Paulosa said. He was one of our esteemed Winter with the Writers guests a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he was talking about poetry and form, and how when you're using a form in poetry, you have guidelines and you have rules, but when you try to write a poem without a specific form, free verse, it's a little bit like playing tennis without a net. It might be easier or a little free-flowing in some ways, but you still have to sort of convince the audience that you're playing tennis. So talk about that, maybe some of the difficulties that arise from scripted work versus how it compares to improv.
I would say with scripted work, you have a lot of the given circumstances there to build your character, and then from there you just have to use it to your best ability and in order to tell a story. With improv, yeah, I think sometimes it can be a little, you know, you can flounder and get lost, but I think the beauty of improv is staying true to yourself and using your own given circumstances and being able to play your game and allow your partner to play it with you, or go back and play their game with them, and then you build your own structure from there, and just keeping things close to home, so, you know, the ball doesn't have to go too far despite not having a net.
Of course. Truth and comedy, folks.
Yes, exactly. Truth and comedy.
It's a beautiful
book. Which is a book. If you take Improv 1, you will read this book.
Yes, I've read this book. Liv has read this book, and Greg has read this book.
You've taken Improv before?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I took it with Dr. D. Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Yes.
I mean, and I
was also the Fred rat in my first few years here. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, like you mentioned, I think truth is a beautiful thing. I think truth, when done well and when you're honest, the reason why people are so receptive is because it's real. It's genuine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people like to radiate around things that are something that they can relate to, if not in them, their own lives, but in the lives of people they know. I think that's what makes improv sometimes, at least to me, even more beautiful than scripted theater, is mm-hmm. because yeah. even though, you know, all theater, all art is based on something, some realness or some experience, I think improv is that one extra level where, you know, you can't break the fourth wall, but you can at least touch it. And I think that's mm-hmm. the beautiful thing about it.
And whereas in a script, someone could pour over it and put as much personal meaning as they can muster into it. But when you have all these people collaborating and bringing their own live honesty to it, mm-hmm. it's something else. At the very least, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to find the same result or the same feeling as a viewer or audience member in that. And turning it back around, we did started by talking about Whose Line Is It Anyway? Wayne Brady on that show is a local improviser.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
From back in the day. Yes.
And I think he attended Dr. Phillips High School, which isn't too far from here.
Oh, okay.
Not too far at all. And it's very cool. Somebody kind of local. Well, somebody mm-hmm. local to kind of come and make it in. He's actually he'll sometimes come down to SAC and actually just
unannounced
yes. and do a random show and stuff with the troupe over there. And I
that
think
must
that's
be
so
cool.
Cool.
That's so
There's
cool.
Yeah.
More singing games than usual.
I mean, of course, as you see, Wayne Brady is a singer.
Yes, he is.
You know, he does pretty well. So, yeah.
Yes.
But no. So improv, folks. That's what life's about.
Improv.
Improv.
Making it up as you go.
Yes, so we will now take we'll take another musical break and see you in a couple minutes.
See you in a couple of minutes, folks.
That was Flight of the Conchords with I'm Not Crying, and Brett, you got it going on.
Flight of the Conchords, really funny comedic band that, you know, sings comedy songs. And where are they from, Greg?
New Zealand.
Also, where our fearless leader is from.
Doxity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who doesn't love the Kiwis?
And
that was my poor New Zealand accent. He would not be happy.
Dr. D.
Radio station, Dr. D.
Garage.
Dr. D. I don't think he'd appreciate. I know he would appreciate. He would appreciate all of our attempts at his accent.
Right.
I know.
Dr. D, this one's for you and the beautiful wife and the small child. We love you.
Koopa.
Okay. So, yes.
So I will briefly answer our trivia question from last week, which was, what year was the Sanspur, when was it founded, when did it begin? I don't remember how I worded it, but that was the crux of it.
The crux.
The answer, as we've shared on this program before, is 1894.
1894?
That is right. We are in our 119th year of publication.
Snap. Next year will be 120th.
That's right.
Wow.
And because of that, we're having a Sanspur Affinity reunion at Reunion Weekend.
Whoa!
Hey-o! So just like how you'll have certain basketball teams that will have a reunion, specifically as a sub reunion of
Very
the General
cool.
Rollins reunion, and there will be the, you know, 10-year, 20, 50-year people as well, and there's going to be a Sanspur
Sansburian reunion.
Yes. So
that'll be so much fun.
Look forward
Definitely
to that.
Definitely meet some old editor-in-chiefs, see what they're
yes.
up to.
Yes, editors-in-chief.
Edit high-in-chief?
Oh, no.
No, I had
oh,
it correct.
No. We know English, we promise.
Yes.
I don't. I don't. Sorry.
And
that's cool.
Yes, and digitally, I do have the second ever issue of the Sanspur open in front of me.
Ooh, what does it say?
It actually begins with some literary works The first few pages have poems on them. The first one entitled Sand Spurs. And it goes a little like this. Could a sweet poetic measure worthily your praise express? Sand Spurs catching, snatching, scratching, to my own your forms attaching. I would hymn in strains exalted your sublime stick-to-itiveness. Martyrs you in paths of duty, parted from your native bower, closely sticking, pricking, licking, even the shoe wherewith I'm kicking, your remains from off my raiment I have gathered by the hour. Still my daily walks attending, with your influence benign, sand spurs tearing, wearing, snaring, high nor humble, passer sparing, strict attention unto business, if a virtue, it is thine. And that, of course, an ode to...
I don't like the way it ended. This is really... This is all flowing. This is thine.
Yes. Who wrote this poem? Do we know?
Oh, we don't know. It is unattributed.
Okay. But you know what?
Lost to history forever.
Those are two snaps.
Two snaps
out of four.
It's also in the shape of three S's. You can see they did a...
Again, the difficulties of working a radio show, we can't show you, but Rush Sandspur.
You guys had a couple years ago.
Yes.
For my
And so that is available at centralfloridamemory.org, where you can find the about the 40, or actually 50 years, first years of the Sandspur's publication are available there. 1894 through 1954, two or four, I think, close to 50.
I mean, if you want to look at just history, I mean, look at what we talked about this. We talked about culture. We talked about art. If you want to know a little bit about Rollins and what was at the heartbeat, the pulse, if you want to grab the pulse of
weird gesture as if I was supposed to know what he was talking about.
I was trying to...
You guys can't see it clearly, but...
I was thinking of the term pulse, but I'm like, heartbeat, this thing, what do you do? What do you get? But yes, if you want to know about us, if you want to know about not just Sandspur, but Raleigh Collie as a whole, definitely check it out. Definitely check it out. They got all the archives, they got all the hits, they got all the beats. They know what's up.
Mm-hmm. All that and more. And then we're starting to archive the past few years that we have digitally on thesandspur.org, directly from the pages that we lay out. So you can click through page by page. What you will see on stands.
If you want
to pick one up.
What controversial things that we've talked about? What little tidbits we've given off to the Rollins community? Maybe you can even compare which is better now or back then.
Hopefully now. But as we've talked about, Sandspurs are these little sticky thorns. Yes.
Flora, not fauna.
Oh, nope.
Flora, not fauna.
It's the flora. And the namesake of both the newspaper and Sandspur Cahal Field, where the soccer team plays.
Very cool, very cool.
Yes. And what's going on for the rest of spring break? College is on spring break right now.
College is on spring break, yes.
Yes.
Me, personally, I will be heading up to D.C. Wednesday early in the morning. I hear it will be snowing. I hear it will be 10 times colder than now, which I will say, guys, Florida's broken. I do not like Florida broken. Can we get this fixed?
I didn't sign up for this.
I did not sign up for this when I signed up for college. can we find duct tape for the sky? I don't think that's
quite cold.
NASA, get on this.
Yeah, it's chilly.
But what I will say, yes, those are my plans. I'm going to be in D.C. visiting a family in the Washington area, also Virginia and Maryland. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Olivia.
I will be sticking around here for a couple days, getting some work done for my classes, and then I will be headed home around Wednesday or Thursday, and then just chill with the family. Be back Sunday. Probably hit up the Pig on the Pond Festival in Claremont.
Sweet.
Yes.
Ooh, Pig on... What's that?
I've been there.
It's a fair. And it's like barbecue and baked goods and funnel cake and fried Oreos stuff.
You got me at fried Oreos. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, fried Oreos are legit. If you haven't had fried Oreos or fried Twinkies, also
a nice substitute. Yeah, we have that too. And then the carnival rides and the big...
That just sticks to the ribs slash the lining of my stomach.
Very vital part of Claremont culture.
How about you, Gregory Golden? What are you going to be up to this week?
How about me? Tomorrow, I begin a trek up the East Coast. I'm driving to New Jersey.
Wow.
Yes.
What are you going to be doing in Jersey? That sounds fantastic.
Well, after I drop that car off, it's mostly driving a car up for someone.
Oh.
Up to his brother.
Okay.
And then hanging out in New York for a few days and then flying back.
New York!
All right, what are you going to do in New York?
Gonna be eating apples?
The Sanspur students are going to a conference this weekend that I'm going to be able to join them at.
Wow!
And then fly back around when they are. But I have about 4 or 5 stops up the East Coast to meet with people who I met here at Rollins. People that you both know. Keen Ritchie's in Virginia.
Oh, fun!
And I have an old roommate who's in North Carolina. D.C. is going to be a stop on Friday.
Hey, D.C.? I'll be there. Hit me up.
Friday?
Yeah, I'll be D.C. from Wednesday to Sunday.
Sweet.
Yeah, it'll be fun. That's awesome. So,
making a week of it.
Who doesn't love the road trip? I mean, I enjoy trips on the road. I mean, who knows? I don't know. I think it's fun. I think you'll have a fun time. And, I mean, come on, New York. New York, yep. New York, Big Apple, you know, they got all that stuff. They got all the fun stuff to do there. They got to check out Broadway. A Broadway show. Check out that nice green lady who kind
of
holds that torch. She's pretty sweet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's a looker. Maybe it's just me. You know, so there's a lot of wonderful things to do up there, and I think you'll have fun. You know, I wish you guys the best. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful time. And
thank you. You too.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And live. So as we close, just want to say, guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, thank you so much to our guest, Olivia Matthews.
Thank you so much for having me.
Olivia Matthews, if people would like to check out a rip show after we kind of talk about it for so long, what can they do?
Well, we have a performance March 14th at 11 o'clock at night. It's a late night show, so get all your homework done beforehand.
Okay.
It will be a rip tag, which will feature three teams battling it out for the title at the end of the show through three rounds of games. The Purple Punks, my team, will be performing. They're awesome, so you should come check it out.
And
the Fred Stone Theater.
Any team with the name Purple Punks, I'm there. I mean, that just sounds like shenanigans. Sounds like shenanigans to be had. Well, folks, thank you so much again for listening to the Sanspur Hour. I'm Amir Sadeh.
I'm a Greg Golden.
Have a wonderful spring break. We will see you next Monday.